I am short.
Whoa. I sorry, my fat fingers there.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza.
Bingo! Showtime!
That's kind of fucking weird, but okay.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you just get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a link it bad. For the stream is good to CLNGS.org. And I see channels of the next day found net bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1044 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And so I... Wow. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Sounds like a transformer.
Mute yourself.
Coming together there.
Yeah.
Why would I mute myself? No. Deal with it. No, I'm kidding.
I ran into
let me adjust my volume.
I ran into an interesting problem today, and let me just quickly explain the situation. I had a task, so we ingest some feeds from two well-known sources, and we're no longer going to be doing that, and we no longer have a partnership with them. And so the one source I was. The task was to delete all the assets that aren't published and are in a draft state. And the system is an Elasticsearch system that we have, of course, our applications in front of. And the tool that is supposed to make this easy is a built node. Application, and it makes use of the templates that we have been designed for us, with us, by us, whatever, that uses a specific schema for searching in Elasticsearch to bring back the assets available to us or that are in the system. And I felt fairly comfortable of what I had to do, and it seemed evident on what I had to do, but I didn't want to do it without someone who's a lot more familiar with doing these things than I am watching over me. So I waited around requesting assistance for about a week, and then finally the person who came on said, oh, by the way, we need to also look into deleting the second group, which turns out goes up into like 2.6 million assets in our database or in Elastic. Anyway, so I kind of had to switch gears, and it was kind of a bit of a fiasco trying to figure out what we need to do, because this is a lot different than the other one. Similarities, but there's a lot more stuff that needs to be pulled down. Now, this tool will go out and fetch the assets and give you their IDs and everything. And it can output into a file so that you could use that file then. It's just basically a JavaScript array of objects. You can then use that as an input to bulk delete, which is what we're going to have to do. So my goal this morning, once we got everything kind of figured out, was that I was going to run this tool to get the files created with all the asset IDs in there to pass to the bulk delete. And what I decided to do was get a list of all the site codes and then do the export of the file of the assets into a file based upon the site code. And it was, you know, it's a very simple script that I would, it could even be done on the command line with a while loop. It's just, I have a file with all the site codes listed, one per line, and then it reads that file in, and on each site code, it's supposed to run the command to execute our support tool. Now, the support tool, like I said, is a Node application, and generally you fire it off by running an npm command, and to that npm run start, and you pass the parameters into it. Well, what ended up happening was it would grab the first site ID, run the command, and then all the other site IDs afterwards would just be echoed out onto the command line. And I kind of think I know what's going on, but I don't. Like, I couldn't figure out how to solve this problem to get it to run. Like, what I wanted it to do was to grab the site code, run the command. When it was finished, it would start over again on the next one and run the command. And when it was finished, start over. Like a while loop should do. When it hits the last site code in the file, it's finished. So what I think is going on, but I don't know how to, like, I could not figure out how to solve this. My assumption is by using npm, what was happening is that npm fires off another process that runs the command and then returns back to the script, which would then go into another iteration of the while loop. And that was my initial, what I initially suspected. So then, like, so npm is just kind of a wrapper that you define in npm package JSON in the script section. You define that npm run start. The start script is basically running next with some parameters that you pass to it. So then I figured, okay, instead of me running npm, let me just run that next command. And it was doing the same thing. So then my assumption is, not next, node. For some reason, node is spawning off another process that is handling this and returning back to the script, which the script then continues through. So it, even when I got down the node, it would not work the way I wanted it to. What I didn't understand is my expectation was, if I was correct in my assumption that it was taking that input, you know, the command line, that command, and it was returning back to the script, then what should end up happening is it should be running multiple instances of the command. But it wasn't. It was just outputting all the other site codes, all the other 300 and some site codes on the command line right after it, one after the other, as if I had done an echo of that site code in the script itself, but there wasn't any. So I could not figure out what I needed to do or what it was doing. Now, the other thing is maybe it's not the node command. Maybe it's something inside that the actual whole application is doing, that it's running in some kind of parallel processing state, that it's not, like, it's still there, but it's like as if it's sucking in the rest of the site codes and not running the application. I don't know. I couldn't figure it out. It was such a nightmare. I tried so many different things, but nothing would work for it to wait for that one command to complete before it went on to running the next one. What I ultimately settled on doing is, if you put in, now, this worked in a kind of crazy way, which in some respects kind of validated my initial understanding of what was going on. If you put an ampersand, well, actually, maybe it doesn't validate it, but if you want to run a command in the background, you write the command out and then you end it with an ampersand, and then that will automatically execute that command and put it in the background and return to the standard in whatever you're working on. So I tried doing that. Now, previous to that, I've tried running it with two ampersands, which is supposed to run the command, and if the command is successful, then run another command after that. That didn't seem to make a difference, but when I did the ampersand after the command, sure enough, it would fire off the command, put it into the background, then it would come back and iterate through as it's supposed to, run the next one, put that in the background, and keep doing that. And that was working as I'd expected to, but it did exactly what I was worried it would, and that was consume all the resources on my system, which not only locked me out of my system, and thank goodness I was able to at least kill some of it, but mostly lock me. I couldn't really do much of anything. Kill some of it before it, like, crashed my system and ate up all its memory. But it also, like, seriously hammered the Elasticsearch and was tripping alarms on that end because I was consuming too many resources. So what I eventually settled upon doing, and it was kind of a pain in the ass, but it got me through, was I took all those that file with all the site codes. I split that file up into five site codes into a bunch of files with five site codes each. Then I ran that command with the ampersand at the end of it, against that script, against the files with just five site codes in them. Once that completed, then I would go on to the next one. It was a lot of hand-holding in that regards, but it got me past that point, which I was able to get all the files or all the assets into a bunch of files. Now, it seemed to me that there were maybe two or three outliers where there was more than 10,000 files or assets that had to be done. So they were broken up into like two or more files. But the one that I saved for the end had approximately 2.6 million IDs that needed to be pulled. When the script ran, I was processing 5,000 at a time at an iteration. So it was dumping all 5,000, each 5,000 iteration into a file. So I was expecting to have to go through what? What's 2.6 million and 5,000? You're looking at about 400 to 500 files. Probably like 550 files, close to that maybe, for 2.6, maybe a little more than that. But we then learned when it was finished, and it took about 45 minutes for that one site, it had about 1.6 million in there as opposed to the 2.6. So it was about a million short. And then that's when we learned that the actual schema that was being used, and all the schemas, were filtering out certain things. So we're missing about a million files, but it's not that big of a deal because the main point of this is so that those assets are not visible to people that, and then they go and try to use them. Because even though they're told not to use them, people are still using them. So at least we can now work on getting rid of the ones that are visible and then come back and get rid of the ones that aren't. But it still, it bothers me. It sticks in the back of my head like, what is it that I would need to do to be able to run this through just like a simple loop like that or some kind of be able to script it easily? Any thoughts? Anybody else ever run into something like that? No?
No.
Damn, you're killing me. And the thing is, you know, and I would search on this. Like, I put in every possible way I could think of to search for this problem in Google. And it just, it kept circling around the same, like, 5 to 10 posts that, you know, I wanted to know how is it how am I supposed to run a node or an NPM script in Bash and have it wait for it to complete? And I kept getting results of how to run a Bash script in NPM. And it's like, no, I know how to do that. And I don't want to do that. I want to do the opposite. I want Bash to run a node command or an NPM script and have it wait for it to finish before it goes, you know, goes through the iteration. And everything that I eventually saw, like the 2 or 3 people that were having similar issues, but not exactly what I was having a problem with, did not work at all. That's where it was, you know, use the 2 ampersands, do a pre-script or a whatever. And it was just, yeah, nothing worked.
There's not a PID or an inode or something you could monitor and change?
I tried that. I tried to do that. Like, I saw some things where you could fire off the command and get the PID and monitor and pass that to the wait command, which would wait on a PID, the PID, but even that wouldn't work. Like, it was so bizarre how this thing was running. And I think the problem was what was going on with whatever NPM or node was doing, it was passing it off so that it was spawning. I guess it would have to be a child process, but it's weird that if it was a child process, then that process shouldn't.
Yeah, it shouldn't keep you from starting another one.
Right. What it should do is, I would assume that the parent process can't exit out until the child process finishes. So the parent process should be still open. But that didn't appear to be the case when I was trying to grab the PID. Like, it would just always act the same way. It would just fire off the command, blitz through all the other site codes, like it would finish the while loop, but it was like as if the first site entry on that site list would fire off the command and all the other entries would just get echoed out to the command line. And it was completely bizarre. Like, I don't fully understand why it's doing that. I still don't. I don't know. I have no idea, Dave. I need a Bash scripting guru.
You can't. I don't fully understand the problem, but the process you're waiting on to finish, the node or NPM process, could you have it? I mean, if you break that to 5 sites or whatever, the smaller increments, is there a way for you to know when it's done?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It tells you when it's finished. Problem is, the original attempts that I were trying to make, it would run it to completion, right?
Yeah.
But as it was running to completion, it was at the same time just completing the while loop. Like, it's really bizarre that the command would run. Let's say you had a while loop that the first line was to copy that file, that entry in the first line to another file, right?
Okay.
Just a simple thing. Like, it was behaving as if it would The first iteration, it would copy the first entry in the file to another file. But while it was doing that copying, it would grab all the other lines. It would complete that while loop, grabbing all the other lines, and it would just echo out those entries on those lines. So when the copy command finished, it would just simply have then echoed out all the other entries in that file that I was iterating through, and not running the command, the copy command, against any one of those other entries. Does that make sense, Dave?
Yeah.
Like, it was utterly bizarre. And I didn't have an echo command in there to, like, echo. Like, you know, sometimes when you're running a script, if you're reading a file or doing a bunch of things on something, you might echo something out and say, okay, I'm running on this file, and then run the command against that file or whatever it is. And then you go back to the next one, and it echoes the next entry in the line and then runs the command. Like, I wasn't even doing anything like that. I was just running the command.
This probably won't help at all, but I, the only thing that's even making me slow down and participate in this conversation, I wrote a bash script one time that I had to use in a while loop, the while I notify wait. And it looked for a file. As long as the file existed, it would do these things, but then at the end of it, to signify that the process was over, it would remove that file. Whenever I would run this command, it would recreate the file, and as long as that file existed, it would do these things. And if it was successful, it would delete it. So it was like touching a file when a process was done. But the while I notify wait version of wait seemed to work for me in that case. But I don't know if that's applicable here at all or not.
Huh. Let me get this straight, Dave. So what would happen is you would, at the start of your while loop, you would look to see if a file exists. And if it does, that would be another while loop. You would wait and go back, and if the file's still there, it would wait and that. But the first time you run this, the file wouldn't exist, so it would get past that loop.
It's been a while.
Set the file, right? Run the command, and then when the command finished, it would remove the file.
I think this, what I wrote was a while then else statement, but I it's been a while since I've done it. But you can check out man I notify wait.
I think I know what you're saying. So you know what? Maybe I'll think about revisiting that and seeing if that would actually work. Because basically what would happen is the script would start up. It would look for the presence of that file. That file wouldn't be there. So it should wait. And then, although, you know, what bothers me about that is I get the feeling that my concern about that is that whatever NPM or Node was doing, it really felt like it was just firing that off and returning back to the script. And I worry that it would have just deleted that file that was that notification file that was created and come back through and run it again. Although I could have the actual application itself set that and then delete it when it was finished. I don't know. That's a thought, Dave. Yeah, maybe I'll look into that.
There's some pretty neat options in there, too, for iNotify wait. There's a monitor option that instead of exiting after receiving a signal event, it executes indefinitely.
I've never used iNotify wait. That's interesting.
I've only used it once, but it did what I needed it to. Like I said, it was a long time ago. I think I wrote this. When did I write this script? That's why I can't remember.
And that's the thing right there. You know, like a script like this is supposed to make things easier and faster. And it saves you that time of running that same damn thing 300 times against a different value. And when you spend 2 hours trying to figure out why it's not working the way you expect it to do, by that point, you could have just run them all by, you know, already. Yeah.
I wrote this February of 2023, so it's been a while since I've even needed this, but because I don't use it anymore.
But it's the learning experience that's important, because once you deal with something like this, you can hopefully remember that you've had this problem in the past and you've documented it, and you can come back to it when you see it in the future. And that's the key right there, is documentation. Yeah. Right, Joel? Yeah.
Sure.
Because I can't tell you how many times I failed to document something only to come back a year later and be like, I know I did this at some point. What do I need to do? Which is why I save all my scripts now. Even when they're no longer going to be used and replacing it with something else, if I've done something interesting that I took a long time to find out, I save that and I note it so that if I ever have to do it again or something similar, there it is. I can just hopefully find it. You know, that's the next problem, saving it in a place that's going to be meaningful, that you're able to find it when you need to use it again. Because there's nothing more frustrating than knowing you've done this before, you have documented it, you just don't know where you documented it.
And making sure that your documentation is ubiquitous, not specific to that circumstance, because, you know, when you're going back and looking at it later and you're reading your documentation and you say to yourself, what the heck is this crap?
Yeah. That's another good point. And also be careful that someone doesn't come along and delete your documentation if you have it on a, you know, group shared resource. We had that. Somebody came along and cleaned up our documentation a couple of times, and I've gone back in and be like, where the hell is my stuff that I wrote? I spent weeks writing this and I need it now and it's not there. And that's because somebody deleted it. Luckily, it was still like, you can get it out of the archive, but yeah.
It's like the boss shares in a Slack channel for the Word document on how to apply a template to our knowledge articles, but then they neglect to insert the text file that is the template, which is basically just HTML, is what it is. But it's like, I'm like, where is this file that it's referring to, and nobody knows where it's at. Of course.
That's not good.
That's okay. The other one is like during the day last week, network team decided, oh, we're going to upsize the DNS servers. I had a client go down, all right, because of that. And network's like, well, it shouldn't have impacted it. It should only impacted
upsize
people on this these particular upsize? Yeah, basically make them bigger, like more CPU power, stuff like that, you know. So they're like, well, it should have only affected addresses on this domain. And I'm like, their site to site is on that domain. That is the connection, the secure connection between our cloud and the client's on-prem environment. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to break things. And I haven't heard a peep back since I sent that out yesterday.
Did they take the DNS servers down completely to do this?
Well, they said it should only impacted, like, had a performance issue. So what it ended up happening was, their logins would fail halfway through, and the process would hang on the core server and eat up a license. So then the client ran out of licenses.
Oh, man.
And I've seen other issues happen in the last week. Plus, I had, like, yesterday, same issue where I saw the site-to-site drop down and then recover. And then our a lot of times our listen to Java-based listener doesn't like that when it happens. So it kind of – it acts like it's up and running. You can actually do things to it. You can put debug on and everything, but it completely loses connection to the database. The only way to fix it is to restart it. Yeah, technically it's probably a software bug, but you know, if you'd actually done things right, you would have avoided that to begin with. And do the North America stuff at night. But what do I know? I mean, you know, only been doing this for 20 years, so you know. I got some new toys coming on Friday.
You got what coming on Friday?
New toys is what he's saying.
New toys. I got, there's a, kind of a radio technology called Meshtastic that's starting to get some legs here and there. And it's uses the LoRa, that would be LoRa. Which is a somewhat long range mesh network for IoT. So then some enterprising people have figured out how to take this and use something called Meshtastic on it. And it's basically sending encrypted messages over the 915 megahertz band, which uses they're encrypted. And of course, each node that you add to the mesh will make the mesh bigger, and you can get longer range, is because basically once a message goes out on the channel, then it'll echo that to each device along the chain. So I got two nodes for $58. So those are the first ones I've gotten. I may have to investigate upgrading the antennas to get a little bit better range on them, but none of this stuff requires any licenses whatsoever. And it's completely open source. The ones I ordered were the Helptech V3 boards based on ESP32 microcontroller. Has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth low energy on it, so you can connect your phone to it to send the messages. That way, you don't have to, like, you can wire up a keyboard and stuff to it. There's some that have been taking, like, what looks like BlackBerry keyboards and connected to it and use it that way. But I'll just be using my phone to connect to it and mess around with it. Don't know if I will get much use out of it, but it'll be fun playing around with it. And Dan, I went on a 5.7 mile hike over the weekend on Sunday.
How'd that go?
It's a good practice hike for my upcoming. It went pretty well. I felt like I could go longer, but you know, time, you know, it was already like getting to be like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I needed to get back and cook dinner and stuff. But cool. I figure if I can get 6 miles in and then feel like I could go more. Or 5 to 6 miles in, feel like I can get more, I can probably complete the hike. I just got to keep doing it. I will say I did have some, probably the biggest thing on these training hikes is just kind of feeling what my body feels like and see if there's any ways I can help it feel better on the next time. So I may get some like insoles or something, because while I could still walk just fine, I did have some pain in my feet. not massive. It's just, you know, pain like you've walked a lot, you know. So I might get some, like, I don't know if it's plantar fasciitis or what it is exactly. But I may try those inserts first. Or like a gel insert. Or those ones like you got.
Could be your feet just getting used to these zero drop shoes.
That too. That too. Although when I go to the gym, that's those shoes. I've been wearing the same shoes I'm going to use for the hike. So.
Okay.
And I only do like a mile and a half on the daily, because that's about all I have time for during the week. I'm not retired like some of us are. Not yet, anyway. I'm just glad the tornadoes missed us all last Thursday.
That's good.
At least where I live. Indian Lake in Logan County got hit pretty hard. Literally laid waste to a trailer park, and they had at least 3 people die out there.
That's not fun.
Hospital, then the hospital declared a mass casualty event too, because they had so many people come in with the injuries, mostly broken bones and concussions and cuts.
Well, on a more positive note, it was my birthday this past weekend.
Happy birthday.
And I got some...
That's right, it was.
I got some fun stuff. Not, like, outrageously fun stuff. But the first thing I got was a standing desk.
Oh,
nice. A sit-stand desk or just a stand desk?
A sit-stand, yeah. It's electronic, so it has 3 height functions that you can program in there, or you could just lift it up, you know, whatever you want. I love it. It's great. It works. It was really easy to put together. It took like a half hour, 45 minutes, if that. And it works great. I stand most of the day now. I enjoy that very much. So 2 thumbs up for that. It's actually cleaned up my work area because of that, so that's nice, because I had to get rid of a lot of the extra cruft that was on there. The second thing I got, I had to replace my lawnmower, which I think I talked about that broke last year.
Right.
The switch in there, I couldn't figure out where it was bad, and it could have been in one of 2 locations, and I couldn't find a part to even try to maybe attempt to fix it, and I would have to do a whole bunch of stuff. So it just didn't pan out. So I got another, you know, I got another Sunjo battery powered, so it uses the same batteries as the other one. So now I have extra batteries for it. This one that came a little cheaper, but the same size. I was surprised how light this damn thing is. Like, I could just pick it up with my one hand and hold it over my head and just, like, swing it around, and it's not, like, that's it. Even with the battery in it, I could throw it across the yard if I wanted to. It came yesterday, so I fired it up and went out to the backyard, and it was a jungle out there, and it made short work of the damn yard. Like, I had a battery with, I think, 3/4 of a charge on it still. That was the old battery, which hadn't charged since last summer. And it held the charge the whole time going through my jungle in the backyard there. So it made short work of that, too. I was very impressed. So 2 thumbs up on that thing. I kind of The one thing I don't like about the old one and the new one kind of is it comes with a grass catcher, but I don't really use the grass catcher because I just let the grass
mulch
lawn there. So it doesn't have like a side discharge. It kind of
okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you're supposed to use a grass catcher, but you don't have to. And if there's a lot of grass, it kind of like pushes it up and builds up in there sometimes. But it wasn't really a problem.
It's specifically made to remulch the grass to cut it into the smallest pieces possible if you're not using the bag.
Right.
Slow down a little bit, and it'll do better.
Yeah, like I said, that's all I had to do was slow a little bit. It wasn't really a problem, but sometimes if there gets a lot in there, it kind of pushes against that back panel where you're supposed to put the grass catcher, and it like you start seeing it like trying to force things open there. Not a big deal, but it worked great. I was really happy with that. And then the final thing I got, and yes, you know, I'm once again back into the 21st century, I guess, in the past decade, is they got me
a bigger hard drive.
A new phone.
None of that. Oh, you know, I felt like I got a new phone because I've replaced my screen protector on there. That one looked like, you know, like it was all shattered and everything. And I just peeled that off and put the new one on there. And it's like, it looks like a brand new phone. Since I've been charging downstairs, I did get a power strip to go with my standing desk that had a fast charging ports on it. And so now I just I charge my phone while I'm working. And that's been working out pretty well. I still have to take the phone out of the case and make sure that it's
jiggle it.
Yeah, I gotta kind of put it in there.
It's gotta jiggle the handle,
and it's gotta have like I push it up against the wall, and it seems to so long as it doesn't like move around, it seems to work fine. But anyway, I got a 46-inch flat screen TV, LED screen TV. This is replacing our old TV that was. Holy crap, I got that, I think, when we were living in Pines of York. So that was about over a decade ago that we had that TV. So it wasn't like there was no smart technology in the TV. Yeah. it's weird though, because that TV that we replaced it with, like that TV replaced a tube TV.
And
so that,
whoa.
Yeah, that tube TV, going from the tube TV to the flat screen TV that we had, was like a jarring experience at first. It had that like almost effect of you're watching a videotape or a soap opera kind of thing. It's like so crisp and clear. It looks like a completely different, like
it's almost too real. It's almost like you're not watching TV.
Yeah, like when we went from the tube to that, now we've gone from this to the new this new TV, it's like the same effect. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm playing, like when I play some games on it, I'm like, it's like a completely different experience. I can't go back to that fuzzy mess I used to tolerate.
Right.
Well, I already told you I got the Halo Master Chief Collection, but I also got a Samsung Galaxy Watch 5.
Nice.
And what does that do for you?
Oh, it tracks how many calories I burn a day, makes sure my heart rate's not getting too low or too high, tracks my workouts.
Huh.
Tracks my sleep. Tells me where I need to make corrections.
Now, here's an interesting thing I ran into. Met up with a friend for dinner on Monday, and he happens to have his OnePlus open with him. That is
the OnePlus, folding one.
The folding one, and I am very impressed.
It's not that much cheaper than, like, the Galaxy one. I hope it has more features.
It's not, but I think it has a better folding mechanism than the other ones, because every other folding phone I've ever seen, until I seen this one, I literally can see the crease in it.
Right.
By, you know, and feel it. Alright? This one, it's there, but it's barely noticeable. And if I had $1,500 all in one shot, I'd go get one right now.
Right, because no companies are selling it. It's just OnePlus, right?
Correct. But you it say, does work on Verizon.
You said $1,500?
Yeah, it's $1,599 at Best Buy.
Wow.
That's for, I think, what, 512 meg, I think? Or gig, I mean? For the storage, sure. 16 gig of RAM. Actually, if you go to their website, it says $1,699. But it's actually a little bit, I think, what, right about the same price range as the Samsung ones.
But I think it's a couple hundred dollars less than the Galaxy Fold.
Yeah, it's close to that. Yeah, but nobody, as far as I know, no carrier carries it, like, right in the store. But you can buy
so no
it in, like,
financing
Best Buy
for you.
Places like that. That's right. That's okay, though. I'm kind of waiting for the either the Pixel 9 Pro or Pixel Fold 2, because I kind of prefer a straight-up Android. We'll see more and learn more probably in May when the Google I.O. is May 14th, I think, is when Google I.O. opens.
Yeah. Well, I guess they're not doing the notes in August anymore, so I wonder what they're going to do in August.
S24? Who knows?
The S24 is out.
Right, as or the S25.
But that was out in, like, what? February?
It was recent, actually. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, maybe it'll be the new Folds.
Yeah, maybe. Wait. I've been chatting with Link, and Link's had a hell of a time with his house. I don't know how much you heard, Dan, but I get. He had a water heater blow up just after he fixed all the floors in his new house.
Yeah, and ruined his kitchen?
That he just had done?
Yeah.
Insurance.
Well, I mean, he actually, because the plumber just put in the hot water tank, that plumber has to fix it.
Oh, it was a new one.
Yeah, it must have been.
Did it blow up? Or, I mean, it didn't rust out since it was new, so.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's grabbed the belt.
He's also probably, I don't know if he's permanently in the wheelchair, but he's in a wheelchair now.
That sucks.
And from what he's saying, it might be permanent. We'll see. He's debating whether he wants to go on disability. Because he's also been battling kidney failure. He's doing dialysis every night. I think that's one reason why I started really trying to focus on dropping the weight, because I don't want to be where he's at, and I don't want to go through what my grandpa went through.
Yeah, no.
Grandpa had First 1 foot and ankle taken, and then the other one taken. Thank you, gangrene, from untreated diabetes. So, that, like I said, I got my, in the pre-show, I said before, my appointment is this coming Monday. So before the next show, I'll have seen the nephrologist, I had to get lab work done. I had to go find a lab and get that done. I went to go to LabCorp, like at a Walgreens. I made an appointment for like 10 o'clock. Slacked my boss and the team, said, hey, got to go get this lab work done. My appointment's at 10 o'clock, so I'm heading out there. I go in there. I sit in there for an hour and hour and 45 minutes. I said, fuck this, because I made an appointment, but you know, like when you walk in, you get an email from LabCorp, and you're supposed to scan the QR code when you get there. But I tried that, and it didn't work. So they had me scan my driver's license, so that worked. But I just sat there, and I'm like, you know, screw this. Let me call my doctor's office and find out. And then I find out my doctor has a lab that I can just go right to same day. So I go up there Monday night and got that taken care of. So, but here's the cool thing, though, is the urinalysis. There's only one thing in my urinalysis that I have questions about that I'm going to ask the nephrologist about. But there was a little bit of extra glucose in the urine that's not normal. That's the only thing that was not normal, though. The protein was in normal limits, and that's why I was going to see the nephrologist anyway. So that was in normal limits and all that. They did a renal panel. The renal panel did not do like all the stuff you would normally do for blood work, so it didn't tell me my A1C or anything. But at the time of the test, my glucose was 82, which is outstanding. So I'm kind of excited to go see yeah, my nephrologist or kidney doctor, his name's Dr. Bitter. I'm not kidding. It's his name, Bitter, B-I-T-T-E-R. Kind of reminds me of the Bitter car on the Goldbergs, which was a real car, but no, we'll find that out. And it's all going, everything seems to be going in the right direction. I've only got like 12 pounds to get down to my next goal, which is to be under 300 by September. So I've only got 12 to go on that. And today, for one of my snacks, I had about 2 servings of those baby carrots, and let me tell you, that kind of gets monotonous right there.
Baby carrots?
Yeah. Mm-mm-mm. But it filled me up and didn't have that many calories, so that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
So I had Wendy's for dinner tonight.
Would you get a Baconator?
No, I got the loaded nacho chicken sandwich. That's pretty good. And of course, I ordered the meal and I forgot. My wife she'll rarely get the full meal because she usually doesn't want the pop that comes with the meal. So I usually just order her a sandwich and fries, right? Well, I forgot the fries, so I gave her the fries that came with my meal. I had something else I could eat here anyway, but yeah. So then this weekend we celebrate. My son's going to be 25 a week from Friday. So we're going to go have like, I don't know who all's coming, but we usually meet the extended family at a bowling alley, and we'll order pizza and whatever and bowl. He'll bowl, I won't.
What are you getting him? Or is he there that
he
you
already,
can't talk about?
He got him? He got a new spare ball. He already got it. I don't know if my wife's gonna just count my shoes as my birthday present. My Ultra Lone Trail or Lone Peak Sevens. Yeah, they're good shoes. I'm pretty satisfied with them. I'm getting used to them. They are a little, they do take a little getting used to with the zero drop on them, but it's not that bad. I wear them every day to the gym when I go do treadmill work. And then on the weekends, I've been trying to get at least one hike on Saturday or Sunday. So I did 5.79 miles on there's a trail called the Blacklick Creek Trail that's in Groveport, which is not far from here. And the only thing I didn't like about that trail was it was all paved because it was a multi-use trail, so people were riding bicycles and stuff on it too. But I need to get onto a natural trail because that's what, you know, it's going to be a good mix on the Mammoth March. So it's going to have some forest floor as well as probably some gravel and some paved sections too, but it's mostly a forest floor though, I would say. So just got to get practicing on that. Today at the gym, I upped the been doing a rolling hill program on the treadmill, and I upped it from like I think I was at level 2. I did it at level 3 for the first time today, and the treadmill really works my feet more. It almost. My feet almost felt better after the 5 miles than it does after some of the treadmill work. But then I'm pushing myself on there and I go at least 3 miles an hour, if not faster, because that's the kind of pace I need to keep if I want to make the hike, the 20-mile hike in 8 hours or less. So if I can keep that as much as I can, I shouldn't have a problem finishing it in the 8 hours. It's about 6.5 if I can hold it through the whole hike. So it'll probably be a little longer because I'll take some breaks too. But we'll see. I'm thinking about maybe grabbing a cabin down at the same state park. And take the family with me and then go do parts of that trail just to see what's going to be like. Practice the elevations and stuff like that.
How long is that trail there? Do you know?
20 miles. It's 20 miles.
Oh, is it the trail you're going to be actually walking or hiking?
For the most part, yes.
Down near Chesterfield, right?
Gloucester, Ohio.
Oh, wait. I thought you were doing one near Chesterfield.
No.
I thought you were doing one in Virginia.
No. I'm doing the Southeast Ohio.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't want to go down all the way down there just for that. Yeah. No, I'm doing it with... as of now, I got 3 other guys I'm doing it with. We added a week ago... last Thursday, we added another person. So, we might get, right now it's all guys, but there may be one lady is going to do it with us, possibly. Kara, who happens to be my pastor's sister, but she's one of the leaders of our boot camp. So she's debating it, or she's trying to convince her husband to do it with us. Just to keep it an all guy thing. I think it would be cool, but it's just been awesome though. I was the first one that even thought about doing it, but then all of a sudden I got 3 other guys doing it with me, so like I gotta make sure that I can do it.
And the furthest you've gone so far is what?
5.79 so far.
And this, you're going to be doing it when again?
August 3rd.
Oh man, you're gonna get there. Not a problem.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I don't think it's gonna be a problem. Yeah, like I said, I felt like it could go longer, but I just family things, got to get dinner on table. Had another podcast to record, so the iTech Gear Weekly podcast.
So is that hike, is it one long trail that's like a 20-mile loop? Or is it you're going to go
basically
around
a
number of times?
No, it's one loop. And if you look at Burr Oak, B-U-R-R-O-A-K, State Park in Ohio, it would probably be... If you look on the ODNR website, it's probably the Lakeview Trail, because the trail they used last year, which I don't have they'll send GPS links for the event prior to the event, but it's pretty much going to be that whole trail. That full trail, if you did the full trail, is 21 miles, but I'm guessing that there'll be like a stage area, you know, where they have a whole bunch of tents and stuff set up to, get everyone checked in, and then when you're done selling T-shirts and stuff like that.
Can you see the trail on their website?
On the state here. Let me see. Because
I'm on their website. I'm just like, I was trying to see if I could see the actual trail.
You should be able to. It may be on the maps. The state park map, maybe.
Yeah, let me pull the map up. And come down here and hike, Joel. It's all flat. All right, here we go. Now.
I see a red... Is it the red line? I don't like the map here. That map is confusing as hell, man.
Okay, so is this trail going all around the lake?
Correct.
All right. So yeah, that looks like that looks like a long trail. You're gonna go. Ooh.
All around the lake.
That is something.
Yep. I've been there. Like, when we were there, we went there and camped in 2020 because that was the only thing we could do that year because it was pandemic.
Uh-huh.
And we kind of stuck to, like, the camp area as well as the beach. And we go in town to get, like, groceries and stuff, too. The starting point is at the group camp, if you see the group camp on the map.
How can you see the group camp?
Like, it should be on there.
I don't see, you might actually, like, let me group. See. I see, let me see campgrounds, but I don't see anything. Oh, wait, group camp. How many group camps are there? Is it just one?
Right.
Just okay. One. So I need to find that. Okay. So it's by dock number
two. Should be on the right side of the map. Yeah.
By dock number two. So I guess you're going to start there and head south and then west? Wait, east.
South. Or north. I don't know.
Like, which way are you going to go? Which way do you think you're going to go? Is it going to...
I think it's going to go, like...
Northwest or southeast?
I would say up on the map, which I'm not sure how the map is oriented.
So you're going to hit... You're going to probably go around the east side of the lake first, And then
actually
head north.
I'm gonna put a link from All Trails there.
Damn, that's a nice long.
There you go.
Yeah, it's the same thing I'm looking at on the map.
Yeah, 1,700 elevation gain.
So it's 21 miles.
Yep, but if you look at in the event, it says it's going to be about 19 point something. So
are they not like I said, finishing where you start?
I'm guessing there's probably a big gap between the start and the finish. I actually subscribe to All Trails, the app, which is like $35 a year. So on the phone, I can actually download the map into my phone. And they usually do put the map in All Trails.
You know what? I bet you I know what it is. I bet you it is. It's this. It looks like there's two trails. And one, like there's a couple of points in the trail where you can either hug along the lake or you can go around that part. And I wonder if that's going to end up going around that part and you're going to bypass some of that hugging along the lake there, which would cut off. And then, yeah, that's probably it.
Maybe. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, it's not that much. It's like a mile difference, you know? But the routing might change a little bit because what they will do is, like, if there's a section of trail that's just nothing but mud and water, they will reroute around it so that you don't have to get, you know, slog through the mud. I mean, I'm assuming there's going to be some mud on it anyway, because it's just the way trails are. But
yeah, maybe that's like some of this that I'm looking at would take you out of that low-lying marsh area.
That'd be the only way to get the elevation gain is to get off the lake anyway.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, there's... Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, if you look at the reservoir Lakeview Trail map there that I linked to, you actually don't, like, there's at least one section where you don't go right up, you don't hug lake. Like, on the north, so my guess is the group camp is near Vicksville, I think, on the map there. So I'm guessing it's probably going to go up, you know, north first, and then around that end, that northern end, and then down around the other side, and then, you know, all the way until you go up that lug. There's like a dog leg there, kind of, sort of. But there are some good hills there. Like, I remember the one thing I remember when we were camping is. And the camp, the normal, like, RV-style campground, which is kind of what we stayed in because we needed electric, that is on the east side of the lake. And the beach is kind of, I think it's kind of towards the bottom of that map, I think. I'd have to look. I might see if I can't load Open Topo on my phone as well. I kind of wanted to stay. We're driving down in range that Friday. I may just take the day off, the Friday off before. Because I'm planning on driving down there Friday, and the hike's on Saturday. And I was going to just grab they have a lodge there. I was going to grab a room at the lodge. But they had we checked in on either Friday or Saturday. They had a mandatory 2-day stay and they wanted $200 a night, and I'm like, yeah, no. So we've got an Airbnb, which is essentially a cabin. So, okay, Beach Road, yeah, it's on the east side of the lake, not all that far from where the campground is. And going down to the beach, the thing I remember the most was it was literally a downhill road. So, yeah, and the group camp is, yeah, near Dock. Actually, it's closer to Dock Area 3. So, but, yep, we'll see. Oh, I just looked at this. I'm trying to think if I can see the trails on Google Maps. It might be. No, it's not on the map. I thought it was. But it'll be fun. You know, this is one of my more favorite state parks that I've ever been to in Southern Ohio. I grew up part of my life when I was in fourth or fifth grade. We lived in Athens, Ohio, which is where Ohio University is. And that's real close to this. When we were here camping, I think we went in for dinner to like a Texas Roadhouse or something, I think. Because it was like in the middle of July, so they started loosening up the restaurants because the restaurants were already closed for a month. So Ohio opened some of those up a little early. But it's a neat area. I think one of the things we're planning on doing is when we finish, the group of us are going to try and find a restaurant on the way between Baroque and Columbus, because we're all going to try and make it home for church in the morning on Sunday. So my goal is to make the hike and be able to make church in the next day and not, you know, not feel all stoved up, you know. Yeah, it'll be all right. I've done that.
I use the expression all stoved up today, and my youngest daughter, who just turned 22, asked me. She said, "What does that mean?" I said, "You'll figure it out when you get old."
Yes, you will. It's like I see. I tell my, you know, like I'll watch my son get breakfast in the morning. He'll fix himself a bagel. He puts like a half inch of cream cheese on it, like that thick, you know. And I'm like, dude, you don't need that much cream cheese on your bagel. I'm like, you see how heavy Dad is now? You had the opportunity to never get that heavy. You know, and if you don't, you're going to regret it. I guarantee you, because I certainly regretted eating like a crab. I remember when I first started listening to this show. This is before I came on the show all the time. I go to Kroger before the show would start, and I'd buy a bag of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And by the end of the show, I had that entire bag ate.
Yeah, Heartburn City, right?
Because no, you know, it's funny. I don't get hot heartburn from hot things, but like if you eat just like regular old plain Cheez-Its, sometimes I will with that. And I don't know what it is. It's strange.
All right.
Now it sounds like he's running a shop back.
What?
Or opening the garage.
I'm not doing anything.
I heard a big noise.
That's it?
Not now.
I said you're lactose intolerant.
I doubt that. You know what? What I started making on my cast iron, Dan?
What?
Quesadillas, man. Quesadillas.
Oh, I love me some quesadillas.
Yeah, it works great for that.
It does.
I cheat. I buy the pre-made steak or a chicken fajitas, and that's what I use for the meat.
Steak them.
Steak.
No. Now, see, but you know what? That's actually not a bad idea, though, Dave.
What?
But not steak 'em.
Watch. He'll use spam next time. Same meat.
You know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea either. I like spam.
I've created Scrapple. A monster.
Hawaiian bread Scrapple. Spam quesadillas.
Can you say that again? I just want you to say that one more time.
I said it wrong on purpose. Quesadilla.
Quesadilla?
Yes, it's a joke around my house.
Yes.
There's somebody said, one of my kids went on a Spanish class, went to a Mexican restaurant, and some kid said, what's a quesadilla?
Quesadilla?
Yeah.
Now I'm making a lot of noise.
Yeah, you are.
Well, I got some non-consequential updates, I guess. I may have mentioned a couple weeks ago that I've got some weather strips that no longer worked. The National Weather Service. I downloaded this text file. It's 69,000 lines long. It's called, I guess it's called their zone forecast, but it's in essence a 69,000 line long list of URLs with all the text-based weather forecast. And I had some ropey scripts written that I could just start typing in a location, and it would spit out the text-based forecast in a terminal window for me. Those quit working. The first thing I noticed, the one I written for my to retrieve the Doppler radar quit working. That was the easy fix. They had changed the URLs. The text-based ones were different. I mean, I take that 69,000 line text file and I pull out what I need. So my text-based forecast is only, it's a list of 33,000 locations. But a lot of those, especially in South Carolina, quit working because they updated a lot of their weather stations. So I had to manually go in and, not manually, but I had to go in and fix that. So I got that fixed. And I was mildly annoyed that with the update of QT6 or KDE6, Plasma 6, that my Nextcloud desktop client Tray app wasn't theming right, but they updated that today, and that's working now. One thing that's bugging me now is the Blue Man applet keeps crashing. That's it.
Lines. Are you pleased with the outcome?
Oh, I was. I wrote the script 4 or 5 years ago because I don't remember how I parsed that. Now I didn't document.
Didn't properly document.
Yeah,
damn it.
The SID grep foo I had to use to pull out what I needed from that file. But it was a learning exercise that I learned once.
All right. Let's see if I die pulling 425.
Hope not.
So what does your script ultimately do? Like, what do you get from that information then? What does it do?
I just, a keystroke, you know, like Windows key, Shift, F, and it, and a ropey window pops up, or D menu, and you just start typing, you know, a town or city or zip code or airport code, and that will cull down the list, and you find the one you want, and you hit enter, and a terminal window pops up, and a floating window. I'm using I3, and it just spits out the 7-day text forecast.
Okay.
That is check weather window. And the other one I use to check Doppler radar. And I've got another one that looks at special weather statements or watches and warnings.
What happens when there is a warning? What does it do?
Well, if there is a warning, it pulls it up. If there's not a warning, it doesn't do anything.
Go ahead.
The warning file doesn't exist if there's no warning.
So do you have this running on a cron job?
No, it's pulled to a keystroke. So it's a static list. I mean, these weather stations don't change their names that often. So it worked for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and then some right. place. Yeah. So it just needed updating.
So you run this on demand. So like when you're like, I want to know what the weather is and if there's any warning, you fire this off with a keystroke, and then it gives you what you want. And how many times a day do you run this thing?
Two or three. I like to look at the radar maps.
That's cool.
I've always been a little bit of a weather nerd. But...
Do you have it play the weather bug noise whenever you do it?
No. I didn't know weather bug had a noise. I don't remember if I've ever run a weather bug.
Doesn't it, Joel? Does a weather bug make a noise or something? Or it used to?
Oh, it will. Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen weather bug.
It's funny, you know. It's funny, though. Today in Ohio was the day they did the statewide test of the tornado system. You know, and they also sent out alerts on, like, I think WeatherBug sent out an alert for that, too. But honestly, though, we didn't really need it because we've had we've had more tornadoes so far this year than they've had in Tornado Alley. And there's been like something like 18 tornadoes since February.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep.
Crazy.
And one hit out Indian Lake out in Logan County, and it pretty much decimated a whole trailer park and a lot of houses out there. It was an F4.
Did you see?
We don't get F4s in Ohio.
Did you see the news story about NVIDIA and creating a – they have a wrong word here, I'm sure, full-scale simulation of the entire Earth. And they're hoping to use AI and NVIDIA technology to greatly increase the accuracy of weather. Because, you know, the weather patterns are, for the most part, sort of a chaos engine. That's why we only get weather forecasts right 50% of the time. But there was some news story I saw today about NVIDIA and a Earth simulator.
I didn't see about the Earth simulator, but I did see one here on the 18th about the new Blackwell B200 GPU, which is being flagged as the world's most powerful chip for AI.
Okay, well, this was also March 18th, and it says NVIDIA announces Earth Climate Digital Twin. And the weather company, Central Weather Administration of Taiwan, is among the first to adopt the new Earth 2 cloud APIs using AI to speed creation of high-resolution simulations and visualization of global climate at a groundbreaking 2-kilometer scale. So the 100.
But it's only a
$140 billion project.
And it's only as good as the model they put in it. So
yeah, exactly. I'll put a link in the bubble chat. But
yeah.
We'll get a politically correct weather forecast now.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
The only real annoyance Linux-wise I'm still waiting on, other than the Blue Man applet crashing on startup, is Nextcloud. I use the Nextcloud news app for my news server for SS feeds. And I think Nextcloud is on version 28 now, and 29 will be coming out in May, I think. The news app hasn't worked since 27. And I could download the beta, but I'm not doing that. I'm just
I have a couple of issues, one of them specifically related with Nextcloud and Joplin.
Really? My Joplin's still chugging along just fine.
Oh yeah. It still works. The problem is the trash file. Because with Joplin it's constantly encrypting, which means that it's deleting a file, creating another file, deleting a file, creating another file. And then when I try to clear the trash bin, which is freaking huge,
it crashes. Are you doing this from Joplin or from Nextcloud when you're trying to clear it?
From Nextcloud when I'm clearing out the trash bin.
Okay.
You can't see the trash bin from Joplin as far as I know.
Right.
And it's Nextcloud that does the backing up. So it's annoying, but it is definitely not, you know, broken.
I don't even know if, where do you find your trash file or trash folder?
Well, when you go to your files in Nextcloud and you look down at the bottom left, it should say trash bin.
I see deleted files. And I guess I'm not deleting anything. Wait, it's still loading.
It should be full.
It's still loading, so it may be.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm only using like 90 megabytes in this folder. I guess all my files may be big. That can't be bad.
Yeah, it takes forever for it to load because there's so many files.
Evidently. I need to look into that.
Yep. And have you guys tested out two applications, one called Sunlight, one called Moonlight? It's for basically viewing your desktop. It gets used a lot with the Steam Deck in order to stream, because there's lower latency with it than there is with Steam streaming.
Nope.
Is baked into Steam, or are these separate apps?
No. Separate apps. So on your Steam Deck or your Android phone, because I've also installed it on my Android phone, you install Moonlight. And then on your desktop, you install Sunlight. And then you can either just share Steam, the big picture mode.
Yeah.
Or you can share your desktop. Or share it low res. And it actually...
Sunshine and Moonlight.
Sunshine and Moonlight. There you go. And it actually works really well.
Right.
For sharing desktop.
You can use these outside of Steam then, right?
Yeah. You can. Like I said, there's the full mode and then there's low res mode. So if you have a lower speed connection, then you can still use it. And like I said, it works pretty good. I mean, you can't spin off another desktop with it or anything, but you can view what's there. I even tried putting it on my VM, and I had to switch to bridge network mode, which broke some other things, but I was able to view my virtual machine using Moonlight and Sunshine.
Huh.
Which is one of the things I was hoping to do with it, but because of how I have it set up with the VPN, it doesn't work regularly. So I'll have to see what else I can do. I don't want to use TeamViewer.
Who does?
My trash folder says deleted files, says no deleted files.
I'm looking at mine right now, and it's all like less than 1 kilobyte files, and they're encrypted JSON files, and it just, the list goes on and on and on. And then there's a file called timecheck.txt, and there's just hundreds of those.
Mine's completely empty. That's weird.
Well, it's kind of old news, but did you hear Broadcom, who now owns VMware, killed off the free version of VSXi?
No.
Yep. Yeah, Broadcom might be the death of VMware.
They've sort of always been the devil anyway, haven't they?
Broadcom? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they always had, we've always had issues with Wi-Fi chips on Broadcom. I think they're also raising the cost of like the commercial version of VMware too. To be honest, most of the people now, if you just run like a data center full of VMs, it's probably better that you just put those on the cloud, either Google, Amazon, or Microsoft, whatever. It don't matter. It'll probably be cheaper.
Yeah, Joe, this is weird. I'm looking at my Joplin folder. It's 755 files and two folders, 16.7 megabytes. It's a shared folder, but my deleted files, it says I have none.
That's weird, because I know I'm not the only person that has had this issue with Joplin and xCloud, because I was discussing it on one of the other shows that I'm on. Because somebody else pointed it out to me.
I use Joplin weekly, and still syncing.
I use mine, like, daily. Several times per day. Like, I can... I checked to see if this was, like, an old issue for me, and I can see that the most recent deletes happened 7 minutes ago.
So you're routinely deleting files from Joplin, is that...
No, I'm... No. Constantly updating files.
Okay.
And yeah. I also I have it on multiple computers. I don't know if you have it on multiple devices.
Well, I have it on my phone and I have it on my main laptop, but you know, the folder, right. The folder is a shared NextCloud file. I'm trying to see if it's where that folder is, if it's on my laptop and I'm just sharing it to NextCloud, or if it's on this computer and I'm sharing it with Joplin. External storage.
Like, I wonder if I go into the folder as root, could I just delete these?
I'm looking at my network shares on NextCloud, and I don't have a Joplin folder I think I'm sharing it from my laptop, evidently. And no, I'm backing up here. I don't know. I have to look into that. I don't know why I don't have any deleted files. Yeah, I've got one file I know I update multiple times a week.
Yeah, I don't know what magic you worked.
Maybe none, but I'm gonna shares. Let me see.
I just got to remember where it's stored.
We gotta start wrapping this Docker up. Image.
I'd have to go into Docker to do it.
Oh wow, 10 o'clock already! Holy shit!
Yeah, it's like 10:07.
Well, you were busy talking about how you were gonna die on that ruck march you're gonna do.
No.
Well, I did that 425 easy enough, and then I dropped the weight. By 50 pounds, I couldn't do it again.
I'm trying to get Joplin installed on my Manjaro instant. Might be an AUR.
The Arch Wiki will tell you how to do it. I got less than 4 hours till 3 body problem airs.
Now, is that a movie or is it going to be a TV show?
It's a TV show.
Okay.
3 a.m. on Netflix.
You excited? Sound excited.
I am. Hope I'm not disappointed.
You will be.
Yeah, probably, but I don't think I'll be too disappointed.
But I think the pacing of the book really matches the pacing that Netflix likes to put out in their TV shows, so it should work out pretty well.
Yeah.
We'll see. It starts out dog slow and then slowly builds up.
Yeah. You know what I don't like? The whole season will be out, you know, before sunrise tomorrow, and then we'll have to wait, you know, a year or two to get the second season.
If they make a second season.
Yeah.
I did see that Steven Spielberg's supposed to be connected to the sequel to Ready Player One.
He was attached to it, I thought. But...
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's got a Creality Ender 7 Core XY 3D printer up for sale for $200 on the marketplace. And now I know the Core XYs are a lot faster than the bed slingers.
Right.
Oh, well, we need to end the show, right?
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, we do.
Tell Joe to shut the hell up.
All right, shut up, Joe. Here we go. Here are your closing thoughts.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Gone.
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all she wrote. Oof. All right.
Oh, is tomorrow the vernal equinox?
That was yesterday, dude.
I thought it was the 21st.
I thought it was the 21st.
We've got a preemptive state of emergency.
No, it's the 19th.
For the solar eclipse coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just stupid.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. Shit.
Well, the one in 2017 came right over the town I live in. I mean, we had 100% total, whatever it's called. I mean,
totality.
Totality. We had it. And it was, and you know, I don't know what, I know schools, even schools around here, I mean, that there's a couple of counties east of me that they're having e-learning days the day of the, because don't want to get sued if some kid under their watch goes outside and burns his retinas, because it's going to be 90% totality here.
It's going to be 100% here. Sued.
Yeah, and so, it was 100% for me in 2017, and you know, I don't remember schools closing, but they may have.
Yeah, we're expecting, you know, so many tourists that it's just going to shut crap down, and we have enough grid problems as it is without y'all coming down here and helping.
Quit bogarting the solar eclipse down there, and then we wouldn't be down there.
All that solar that they had us put in is not going to work on that day. Then everybody's going to be here using up our power.
Yep. I did. That was a long time ago now.
I mean, it doesn't make the weights completely silent, but it does help a lot.
Yeah.
I did my first longer distance hike on Sunday.
How many miles?
5.79.
In your new shoes?
Yep.
And it went good?
For the most part, yeah. I probably could have gone longer, but yeah, it's a time thing really. But I'm trying to kind of get between 6 and 9. Comfortably with the ability to continue on if I have a rest. And, I think it's going to work.
Have you guys checked out the Steam sale?
I didn't know there was one.
I got some emails, but I didn't check anything out.
Mm. I picked up something.
I'm looking now, though. What'd you pick up?
They got a belt for the them, Halo, right?
The Halo Master Chief Collection for like less than, for right at like $10.
Does that run on the Steam Deck?
Supposedly it does.
Yeah.
One of the most popular on the Steam Deck.
And the controls should be nice.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. I've been busy playing Skyrim.
Alright. Dave, what's the episode?
1043.
What?
1043.
Bumps.
You want to try again?
44.
Oh, wow. I'm perpetually a week off now. I think my time here is done.
Yeah, it's the sign. Wait, I'm just making sure I didn't skip a number.
So it's 10:44.
And so we're ready to start?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Dave's got his suppository in. We're ready to go. What flavor is it tonight? Taco Bell bean burrito. I hear sometimes you get confused because the bean burritos are kind of shaped like the suppository. All right,
you're relentless.
All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.